All right, let's get into the word this morning. All right, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 through 18, if you want to follow along. All right, so this message is titled, "What Are You Doing Here?" It's a good question, isn't it? All right, so, but before I get into the scripture, I want to give you some background information on what I'm speaking about. So the story is about Elijah. And if you remember, you all know the Sunday school. I'm going to give you the short Sunday school version of this story, right? Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal, right? He calls them up on the mountain. They both build altars. You remember this story? I'm going to tell Pastor Ron if you don't remember this story, because this is kind of significant, okay? And so basically, Elijah challenges them to burn, whose God can burn the sacrifice. And Elijah, the prophets of Baal are praying and praying, and to the point where they even start cutting themselves. And Elijah, being the sore winner that he is like, "Oh, maybe you're not praying loud enough. Oh, maybe your God's asleep," right? And then he prays one simple prayer, says, "God," and poof, his offering gets burned up, right? And it causes a rebellion. I want you to think about this. They killed all 450 prophets of Baal, all of them. Not one was spared, because Elijah had proven to them who the real God was. Okay? And of course, this really upsets the leaders at that time, which was Ahab and Jezebel, right? And Jezebel promises Elijah, she promised? She says, "Before the sun comes up tomorrow, I'm going to get you killed. You're going to be dead," right? It was that big of a deal that she's like, "We're just going to kill you." So now, where we pick up our story is Elijah's on the run, okay? At one point, he even stops to take a break, and like an angel feeds him, and he begs God to kill him. That's how afraid Elijah is at this point. He's like, "God, just take me now. I'm done," right? And so we pick up the story where Elijah is hiding in the cave. He's inside the cave. He is now on the run. So we're going to start with 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through 10. It says, "There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me also.'" Okay. So let's pick up where Elijah is. First of all, I want you to think, Elijah just scored this major, major victory. Like, he won. There's no doubt in anyone's mind he won. God has revealed his power to him in a real tangible way. He's seen the miracle, right? He has won the victory, and now he is in hiding. God's called servant is in a place where God never wanted him to be. I want you to think about that. Think about what Elijah has seen, and now he's hiding. Like, God just burned up an offering from one of his prayers, and he's hiding from one woman. One woman, man, this is a lesson for you. One woman has him running scared. Okay? Sometimes, as servants of the Lord, we open our eyes and we find ourselves in a place that we were never supposed to be, a place where God never really wanted you to be, right? We make decisions, and then we kick the can so far down the road, we're like, "I don't even know how I got here. How long have I been doing this," right? Because you're in that place where you're not in the will of God. You're somewhere where God never intended you to be. And that's where Elijah is. And what caused Elijah to get there? Fear and discouragement, right? He was afraid. So I want you to think about society today. They want us to be afraid. They want you to be afraid to tell them about Jesus because it makes them uncomfortable. They want you to be afraid to be a follower of Christ because it doesn't align with what they believe, right? They can be however they want, but if you have an opinion, you need to be afraid. That's why when you see people out witnessing, they yell at you and they call you names. You're a bigot and you're a this, that, and the other, right? They want you to be afraid because if you're afraid, you'll go to that place where you're not where God wants you to be. Amen? Look, I preach longer if y'all don't participate, so. You know, Elijah was in such a bad place that he asked God to kill him. I don't really think Elijah wanted to be killed. I want you to think about this. If Elijah really wanted to die, all he had to do is stay put. Jezebel would have done it for him. I don't think he wanted to die. I don't think he knew what he wanted. He just knew he was scared and running. Fear and despair can take you a place you never want to go. Right? You will run so far that you don't know where you're at anymore. And it takes some time for you to get back. Fear does amazing things to humans. Right? So that's why people want us to be afraid all the time. Not only that, but we got to understand that when you score a major victory, right? I don't know if you knew this, but we're in a spiritual battle with the enemy, right? We take ground, he takes ground, and it kind of goes back and forth, right? When we are in this battle with the enemy and you score a victory, the enemy doesn't just say, okay, you win, I'm done, right? If you score a victory, the most immediate thing you should expect is an attack. Because he's not going to give up. Elijah saw this great victory and didn't expect the attack. Right? And now he's running. We have to expect that when we go and we score these victories for God, when we take land that the enemy doesn't want us to take, when you win that soul that the enemy didn't want you to win, that you're going to get attacked. We expect attacks, especially when we're overseas. We just expect something, and it won't be like it's not always a direct attack. Sometimes it's the car breaks down. We're on our way to church and the car breaks down, right? Or we're on the way to visit somebody and they're not home, right? They thought they needed to do something else, right? All of those little things are preventing us from doing what God called us to do, right? Some of the stuff that happens to us, it's not all attacks from the enemy, okay? Some of the stuff that we experience is self-inflicted, okay? We do make decisions that aren't what God wants, and there are consequences to those decisions. But there are some times where it's a clear attack from the enemy, right? And he's trying to prevent you from getting to where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Fear and despair will almost always follow a great victory. And then God asks Elijah, what are you doing in the cave? What are you doing here, Elijah? And he says, I've been jealous for the Lord of hosts. He starts to talk about how all of Israel except for him has fallen away, right? He says, oh, I have followed you very zealously, God. And he talks about, they've forsaken the covenant that you made, and they've torn down your altars, and they've slain your prophets, and they're trying to kill everyone except for me. How many of you know when you're scared, it's usually not as bad as you think it is? I cannot tell you how many times I've called Pastor Ron, and he's like, Gary, it's not as bad as you think it is, right? Because I'm like freaking out. He's like, Gary, just, you're good, right? It's hard to see the forest when there's a tree in front of your face. Amen. Right? And so he's in this place where he can't see what's going on around him because he's got blinders on. He can't see because he's so scared. Right? It's never as bad as you think it is. Right? All right. All you young people, the older people, you've probably got this a little figured out, but if you don't, I'm going to share it anyway. Young people, this is information specifically for you. One of the biggest things the enemy will do to confuse you is try to convince you that you're the only one that's ever been through this. Right? That way you'll keep it to yourself. Because if it can make you ashamed of it, you won't share it and nobody can help you get through it. You are not the only one. I can tell you, you're not the only person that's ever used drugs. You're not the only person that's ever been addicted to pornography. You are not the only person that has ever sinned. There are people that are around you that can walk you through how to get back from those things. But if you think you're alone, you will keep it a secret. The worst thing you can do if you mess up is to keep it a secret. There are people that have been put in your path to help you. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to the next part of Scripture. This is verse 11 through 13. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" All right. So let's break this down. So God says, "I'm going to come by," and all of these things happen. The fire, the earthquake, the wind, you know. And it specifically goes out of its way in Scripture to say, "But God wasn't there. But God wasn't there. But God wasn't there." Here's where God was. Okay? God was the still small voice. Here's the point. God will never be the voice screaming at you. God will never be the loudest voice that you hear when He speaks. Because, and I think it's very intentional, I think when God speaks to us, He wants us paying attention. And if His voice is just as loud as everybody else's, we don't listen as well. Because believe me, in today's world, there's lots of distractions. There's lots of noise, right? We have to have every 5 minutes of our life planned, right? I got to be here. I got to take the kids here. I got to go over there. Joni and I used to live this life. We used to work 4 jobs and take Quinlan everywhere she needed to go. And we were here and here and here and here and here and here and here. It's real easy to get distracted where I'm not even listening for God anymore. I'm not even reading my word anymore. I'm not even praying anymore. I don't have time for all that. And then all of a sudden, I'm not going to church anymore. And now I'm so busy and so distracted that I don't even know where God's at. I just assume He's abandoned me now. I'm speaking from experience, folks. This isn't something I'm just making up. I've been in that space. Okay? What we learn here is that when all of that stuff is going on around you, right? Your finances are shot and your car's broke down and your kids got to be over here and you don't know how you're going to make that happen and you don't know what to do here and this one's having a problem over there and I got to be over there. Slow down and listen. That is the perfect opportunity for you to step away and say, "I need to hear from the Lord." What happens is we get so distracted with the noise that we never even hear what God is saying. Right? So what did Elijah do? Put his cloak over his head. Right? It doesn't really tell us what that means. I think he was trying to get alone. He was trying to get rid of all the stuff around him where I can't see the fire, I can't hear that over there, and put his cloak over his head. And then it says, he heard God say, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" We cannot let life distract us so much that we stop hearing from God. We cannot let our situation distract us so much that we don't make the main thing the main thing, right? We start making mountains out of molehills, and we start doing things that aren't what God needs from us because we're distracted by all the stuff around us. All right. And then God asks again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Okay, I want a show of hands. How many of you have kids in the room? You have children. Okay. Tell me the reason you ask a kid a question a second time. You all laugh because they didn't listen. If I have to ask you a second time, it's because you didn't listen the first time. Okay? Elijah did not understand the question the first time. So God asks him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And we're going to go to the next scripture. This is verse 14 through 18. He answers. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meola to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in all Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Okay, there is a lot to unpack here, so I'm going to do it in a very abbreviated way. Elijah didn't understand the question the first time. What do you notice about Elijah's answer the second time? It's the exact same rehearsed answer that he did the first time. Like word for word, he says the exact same thing. I have been around a while. I know that when Joni asks me a question and I answer it, and then she asks me again, that the first answer wasn't correct. You just kind of naturally learn that when you hang around somebody all the time, okay? This is why I say Elijah didn't understand the question. He gave the exact same answer, okay? Elijah answered the question, why are you here? That's not what God asked. Why was Elijah there? Because he was scared. They killed all of the prophets, and they were chasing him, trying to kill him. He felt like he was the only one left. That's why he was there. God did not ask Elijah, why are you here? He said, what are you doing? Anybody know the answer to that question? I'll give you the answers, because this is why Elijah didn't answer the question. You put that next slide up. Nothing. Elijah was doing nothing. Elijah had let his fear and despair of Jezebel drive him to a place where he was no longer serving the Lord. He was in a cave hiding. He was so scared that he had forgotten all the victories that God had delivered for him. And he was hiding from this one woman who threatened him. She didn't even really have power over him, because at this point you would hope he would know God was on his side. But he was in a place where God didn't want him to be, not doing what God wanted him to do, because he was afraid. Which is where a lot of us are as Christians now. We're so afraid to share the gospel that we're hiding and doing nothing. We just live our lives. We wake up, we go to work, we go home, we go to bed, we come to church on Sunday, it's really nice to see all of you, and then we leave and do the same thing over again. And we're not really doing what God has asked us to do, because we're hiding, because we're scared somebody's going to get mad if I say Jesus. We think somebody's going to get upset or offended if I share what God has done for me, if they find out I'm a Christian. Now, I want you to see here, what did God call Elijah to do? He finally says Elijah doesn't understand the question, and he gives him direct orders. God called Elijah back to action. He says, Elijah, get up and go back the way you came. I don't care how scared you are. It's not about you. It's about me. Go back the way you came. He calls him to action. Amen? So when you're in that place of despair and when you're in that place of fear, here's what you need to know. God is calling you to do something. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Do something. It's kind of this paradox, right? If you're so afraid to do something, do something. It's a lot easier said than done. God called Elijah back to action. He's like, your work is not finished. I'm not done with you. You need to get back out of the cave. God is calling us out of this cave and calling us back to action. Because guess what? I've been around the world and the work's not done yet. There are still lost people in your community. There are still lost people on your street. There are still lost people in your school. The work's not done. God is calling you out of the cave. Here's the beautiful thing. If you enjoy that cave, you can stay in it. You notice God did not go into the cave and pull Elijah out and say, you're not done. He asked Elijah, please go back the way you came. Elijah could have said, no, I'm pretty comfortable right here. Right? I want you to know that the worst enemy of doing something great is good enough. You're doing it good enough. Right? Good enough will kill great every time. God has a great plan for your life or you wouldn't be here. Right? But if you're satisfied with good enough, then that's what you're going to get, good enough. God wants you to do great things. All of us. He's called all of us. The Great Commission was for all of us. Right? God wants us to reach the lost. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But it's going to take you and me and all of the believers to do the work. Pastor Ron can't do it by himself, although God loving me tries. Right? I've seen him get people saved in the Popeye's restaurant at the counter. Okay? He doesn't have access to the people you have access to. I don't have access to the people you have access to. So what I'm saying is, I'm wanting to encourage you. Come out of the cave because God is calling you to action. God never meant for you to hide from who you are. God never meant for you to be scared of who He created you to be. He never meant for you to be afraid to do the task that He asked you to do. But you got to listen and you got to be willing. It's that easy. You know, I say this a lot to young people. Sharing your faith is easy, right? I was one way. I met Jesus, and now I'm another way. It's that simple. We try to make it complicated. Look, guys, I'm not the most theological brain on the planet, okay? I read the Word and I interpret it the way the Holy Spirit interprets it to me. I'm just a farm kid from Southeast Missouri. There's nothing special about Gary. There's nothing special about Joni, except she's my wife and I love her. Sorry, honey. We're just two people that said, yeah. The only thing special about us is that we said, you know what, God, if that's what you want us to do, we'll do it. And that's all you have to do. All you have to do is be willing and say, God, if that's what you want to do, we'll do it. I can tell you from experience, before I tell you that, though, if you want to come back. I can tell you from experience, I have never been more happy than when I walk in the will of the Lord. And I've been in both places. I've walked in God's will and I've walked out of it. You know, when you go live in another culture, it's not easy. You know, I've told some of you this story. The first day we were in Samoa, I woke up bawling my eyes out. And Joni walked out of the bedroom at 3:00 in the morning because we were jet lagged. And she goes, what are you doing here, Gary? She asked me that exact question. And I said, I'm crying because what did I do to our family, right? Because we're, you know, the night before, Joni stepped on a centipede, which was about 8 inches long. I couldn't even kill it. I stomped on it like 20 times. They couldn't kill it, right? Quinlan's on the couch crying because it's climbing up the couch after her. And I mean, it was just one of those things where you couldn't script it better, right? And I woke up thinking, if that thing had bit Joni, I don't even know how to call 911. Let's say I got a hold of an ambulance, I don't even know where we are. I can't even give directions because the house we were staying in was, you had to drive through two other people's yards to get to it. There was no road. I'm like, I don't even know how to tell the ambulance to get here. We're all dead. That's the conclusion I jumped to. Yep, we're all going to die. It's fine. I was kind of like where Elijah was, right? It's not easy, but I've never been happier. I've never been happier because I know I'm doing what God has asked me to do. And so that's your greatest form of worship is obedience. But you can't be obedient if you don't take the time to listen. Amen.